We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! So it is. It is. The Joe Rose Show here on President's Day. So Joe Rose isn't here. Alex Dono and Omar Kelly with you till 10 o'clock here today. It is that time of year, my friends, as we get ready for free agency. Where will Jarvis Landry end up? The NFL draft coming up in a couple of months. That's why we like to bring on Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com. He is the publisher of DraftAnalyst.com, and he is an NFL draft analyst. He joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Tony, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. You kind of filled up my resume there with all that draft analyst talk. Thank you.
See, there you go. Then the next time you have to spruce up that resume, just ask me. We'll help you out with that.
You know I got a high opinion of you, Tony. We've been rocking together since, I think, like 2001,
wow,
back when I used to cover the University of Miami. Isn't that true?
Long, long time. I've hung with Omar almost as much as I've hung with my wife, so that
I don't know if that speaks for your friendship with Omar or for your marriage. I'm not sure where to go with
boy.
That one.
Oh, yeah, we won't go anywhere with that one.
Hey, so Tony, I'll start with the question every Dolphin fan wants asked here. Miami Dolphins will sit with the 11th overall pick, and I know that free agency, the dust needs to settle there first before we can really break down the draft, but when the Dolphins are on the clock at 11th overall, could you actually see them use that pick on a starting quarterback? Is that a remote or a high probability for Miami this coming April?
I think it's somewhere in between. I think it's a possibility. You know, if Baker Mayfield's there, if, gosh forbid, a guy like Josh Allen falls, I could absolutely see that. I mean, Ryan Tannehill has never really lived up to expectations. He's been very spotty, had that whole issue with the injury. So, you know, if a highly rated quarterback is there and he's at the top of their board, I definitely think it's part of the conversation. I don't think they're going to target a quarterback, but if one falls to them, I think he's part of the conversation.
Now, let me ask you this, Tony, because it depends on what draft analyst you talk to, but everybody has a different quarterback rated as their top guy. There's six that are pretty much projected to be top 50 prospects, if not first-round picks. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. Who do you rank number one, and how do you view each of those guys?
My number one ranked quarterback for the longest time has been Josh Rosen of UCLA. I don't know he's going to be the first quarterback selected, but when you look at the overall body of work, you look at the NFL readiness, you look at the accuracy, the ability to command the offense, I mean, his passes are picture perfect. You haven't seen a quarterback this accurate since Matt Ryan, dare I say, Peyton Manning. He's got a good arm. He doesn't have a great arm. His accuracy and ability to place the ball where only his receiver can make the reception is incredible. He's got medical issues. He's got a personality that rubs people the wrong way, so that has to be factored into the equation. The concussions are an issue. The shoulder injury from 2016 is also an issue. He's my number one ranked quarterback. I don't know that he's going to be selected first. Then I got right neck and neck, I got Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. I love Allen's physical skills. He has an arm that enables him to make throws that no other quarterback can make. I mean, you watch the film at times, and he makes some jaw-dropping throws from both sides of the spectrum, some throws that no one else can make, and then some throws that no one else wants to make because you wonder where he's throwing the ball. It's so inaccurate. Sam Darnold has got that it factor. I mean, he's a guy who can pull a rabbit out of the hat when there doesn't even seem to be a hat around. He makes some incredible throws. He drops the ball in there where no one else can. But he doesn't do a good job with his reads. He doesn't do a good job with his ball security, whether it's interceptions, whether it's a fumbled snaps or fumbling the ball outside the pocket. And that's something that's got to be worked on. His mechanics are horrible and need a lot of work. If he goes into the NFL with those types of mechanics, he's going to throw a lot of interceptions. And he's probably of the top three, the furthest from being NFL ready. And then there's Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield's got great moxie. He's got an arrogance about him on the football field. He shows the ability to improvise. But his physical skills, to me, are just a red flag. He doesn't have an NFL arm. I'm concerned with Baker Mayfield, and I'm releasing an article this morning that, you know, some of the things he was able to get away with on Saturday, he's not going to be able to get away with on Sunday.
One thing that I find also comes up with Baker Mayfield, and I think that this part is a little bit unfair when they talk about the personality and the character. I mean, the guy does have one misdemeanor arrest, and yet people start comparing him to Johnny Manziel, which I think may, you know, kind of come with the fact that he's, you know, a shorter white quarterback with some personality. But do you think that is the off the field stuff fair? Is that a red flag?
It isn't for me, and I think that. When you compare him to Johnny Manziel, Manziel's off-the-field issues were a distraction. I think with Baker Mayfield, it's just part of the personality, and he kind of feeds off of it, and it kind of makes him a more arrogant, cocky person on the field as well as off the field. Never got that sense with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel played football, and when he's off the field, he was a big partier. I think it's just part of the entire package with Baker Mayfield, which a lot of teams may not like.
Let me ask you, did you have a follow-up for that?
No, go ahead.
I always view a draft based on not necessarily how many quarterbacks are in the draft, but how many elite prospects. How many guys can you look at this draft and say, oh, these guys are 8 or 9 rated players on your board and will definitely be good pros, if not pro bowlers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you really have two at the top with Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State, as well as Bradley Chubb. I mean, those are two, I feel, elite guys. I think De'Ron Payne of Alabama is also in that equation, although he's going to be drafted later. Minka Fitzpatrick, Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. So I think you've got those five guys, and then it starts to fall off a bit to the quarterbacks and people like Derwin James of Florida State. So, you know, if you're asking me to put a number on it right now, I'd say there's about 4 or 5 really outstanding top prospects, guys going to have be starters right from the get-go and have long careers at the next level and cause an impact.
Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com, joins us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. And, you know, Tony, there's a possibility the Miami Dolphins will lose Jarvis Landry in free agency. And I don't think they're necessarily would look to the draft to replace him immediately, but maybe you can find somebody you can groom into that kind of a role. Do you see any Landry-esque type players at receiver?
Ironically, a kid from the same college, LSU, DJ Chark, is the same type of player. He's got the same type of build. You know, he's not a real speedster. He's more of a stronger possession guy with decent speed. You know, like Landry coming into the league, he does have some issues as far as, you know, an occasional drop, but for the most part, he's an exciting, dynamic receiver, very good in the short and intermediate field. And I think like Landry, like most receivers that come out of LSU, he's going to be a much better pro than he was in college at the receiver position. So I think DJ Chark is a guy to look at. Marcel Aitman of Oklahoma State is a guy to keep an eye on. Second, third round, depending how fast he runs at the combine. He's 6'4", about 220 pounds. He plays fast. You know, everyone talks about James Washington out of Oklahoma State, understandably so, but I think if Aitman runs well and he continues to progress down the road, Aitman could be a better NFL receiver than James Washington, who's probably going to be drafted significantly higher than Aitman. So I think those are two guys to keep an eye on day two for the Dolphins if they decide to go the receiver route.
Now, I want to ask you about a little bit the University of Miami prospects, and let's start off with the defensive end. One of my favorite guys that's in this draft, Chad Thomas. Where do you see Chad Thomas in the NFL, and how high do you see him going in this draft?
I think he's a fifth rounder, could be a fourth rounder. I love his intensity. I think what's going to happen, he's going to start off as a 4-3 end. I think he has the frame and the size to develop into a 3-4 type of two-gap end, maybe even a three-technique tackle, because he's a very good athlete. He's very quick. He's not an immobile guy. He's got a good change of direction and can move everywhere on the field with speed. I like his intensity. I like the fact that the kid played in the Shrine game. Then a week later, he's playing at the Senior Bowl. I think that tells you something about him. He comes, you know, every week to play. I think he's got to get a little bit stronger. I mean, he's a good athlete. He's quick. But when you watch the film, really, if he doesn't beat the blocker off the snap with the first step, the blocker gets his hands on him, it's game over. But that's coachable. I mean, that's teachable. You get him into an NFL weight training program, I think that's teachable. I like his upside. I think he's a versatile guy who is probably going to be a year or two in the making.
Now, the Miami Hurricanes lost their two starting defensive tackles as juniors. They both left early for the draft, and Kendrick Norton and R.J. McIntosh. How do you grade them out? Where do you see them landing?
You know, McIntosh is a bit like Chad Thomas. He's very quick. He's athletic. He moves well, but he really shows little strength at the point of attack. He's easily blocked from the action, and he's what I like to call a first-step lineman. He's got to get that first step off the offensive lineman really to make an impact. I think he just has to physically mature. He's got to get a little bit bigger and stronger. I think he's more of a fourth-round guy who can be a playmaker if coached properly and put in the proper position. Ken Norton, I like his size. I like the way he occupies the gaps. He could potentially develop into a zero technique tackle, basically a nose tackle as he gets a little bit bigger and stronger. Not much of a playmaker, but if you want a guy in the middle of the field who's basically going to occupy the blockers and allow the linebackers or your edge rushers to make plays up the field, I think that's the kind of guy you're looking at. I think he's going to be a last-day pick somewhere along the sixth round for Ken Norton.
Now, another Miami guy, Braxton Berrios. Now, there are some limitations on the field, but a very intelligent guy, has some intangibles, plays very hard, but it seems like he could be on the bubble, Tony, whether he even gets drafted or not.
I think if he runs well, he's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted in the sixth round or so. I mean, the only limitations is his height. I mean, he's just not going to get taller. But you put him in the slot, you use him as a return specialist. He's a dangerous guy in the open field. He catches the ball well. You put him back there to return kicks. You know, and the NFL likes that versatility. You know, you talk about Ken Norton. Ken Norton does one thing. He occupies the gaps. He doesn't make plays. Berrios, you could use him as a slot receiver, return specialist. You can use him to run reverses. You know, unless he runs a clunker, and a clunker for a guy that's 5'8 and change is going to be in the 4.5s. If he can run in the low 4.4s, even the high 4.3s, he's going to get drafted because of the versatility and the ability to be used in different situations.
Well, Tony, we appreciate your time. Thank you for always joining us. I want to put you on the spot and tell me which quarterback you would take if you were running an organization.
Oof. Well, you know, if I had time, I would take Josh Allen. I mean, he's been my guy for the longest time. There is some downside risk. He's not coming off a good year. I'm scared by the Josh Rosen and medical issues. I'm scared by the fact that Sam Darnold, you know, he needs a lot of fundamental work. He needs work on his ball security. Josh Allen scares me too. But I mean, if I had one guy and I had a great quarterback coach, I think you know what you need with Josh Allen is you need some time. You can't put him in there right away, and you need a great quarterback coach, which is why I think he's the perfect fit for the Giants with that second selection in the draft. I just think his upside's immense. And, you know, he knows he has to work on his fundamentals, which is going to improve his accuracy. So he's not a guy who's going in there blind.
Tony, how much sleep do you get this time of year?
Yeah, well, I was up late last night and watching a lot of film and doing a lot of reports. So the month of February and especially March when the pro days start to kick into gear. When, way back when I used to be on the phone with Omar day and night during a Miami Pro Day, Miami Pro Day used to be the second combine. I mean, basically the combine would end and everyone would travel down to Miami when they would have five and six first-round picks. But to answer your question, not enough. Let's leave it at that.
And real quick, on free agency, Omar and I have talked a lot about Jarvis Landry and the options that the Dolphins have, which of course do include a franchise tag. But I know that fans in this area are pretty split on that. I'd say the slight majority really desperately want Jarvis Landry back. A lot of people say he's a slot receiver, he's replaceable, let him walk. Where do you stand on that? How far can and should Miami go to keep Landry in the fold?
I don't think, you know, you look at this year's receiver class, I don't know that they're going to be able to replace him. And he's a valuable piece, and the fact is if you don't have a good quarterback, you don't have a consistent quarterback, you better have a good receiver to catch those errant throws. We learned a lot about that here in New York with the New York Jets. So I think they have to make every attempt, whether it be considered a franchise tag or basically a decent deal for the guy, to keep him in the mix.
He is Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com. Tony, thank you so much for the time, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there from Tony Pauline. Man, breaking down from our Canes to hopefully future Dolphin players. It's exciting, man. And Tony mentioned he's not sleeping much this time of year. Omar, how much sleep do you get this time of year?
I get my same 5 hours, maybe six if I'm good. But
so you can run on that, no problem?
Yeah, no problem.
I have trouble with that, man. I need a lot of sleep.
This isn't the time where I lose my sleep. Free agency, right after the combine, that's the time where I have no sleep. Team no sleep.
Well, I'm about to be team no sleep. We're having a kid in like a week, so, man, I'm trying to get as much sleep as I possibly can now. I slept until noon yesterday, which made it very hard to go to bed early last night.
I'm very thankful and I will enjoy your last thing of childless existence, which is to go see the movie Black Panther.
That's right. That is going to be the last thing I do.
That is your last thing of a childless life that you're going to do. I look forward to it. I look forward to your review, even though it's going to be a week late. I saw it last night. I saw it Saturday night. It was amazing.
See, I want to get coming up next. I want to get a non-spoiler review on that from you. Plus, I've got a parenting question to ask you because you've got a teenage son. I'm about to have a son. There's something I've got to know about raising a sports fan. Omar Kelly, Donna, with you here on the Joe Rose Show, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com.
Donna, Omar Kelly with you here on the Joe Rose Show. Joe will be back tomorrow. We are here with you till 10 o'clock here today. So, Omar, it seems like you're doing a very good job raising your teenager, your teenage son. I'll throw you that, even though I have no idea what you do as a parent. I'm going to assume you're doing
I'm
a fantastic
doing a
job.
Horrible job.
Really? Why do you say that?
He's a 16-year-old, turned 16 last week. Just lost in the world as we are at 16.
Is he still like, has he ever gone through that phase? And I have to ask these questions because I'm about to be a parent in about a week. We're having a son. Has he gone through the phase where he's like embarrassed to be around his parents?
Oh, yeah.
So that's inevitable, right?
Yeah, I've been embarrassing since he was like 8.
And you would think that you're kind of a cool dad, though, right? Like you're a sports writer.
His friends think I'm cool.
Wow.
Which just annoys him even more.
That's
great. Just the worst thing you could do to my son, like if you see me, because I in this age of social media, I do get recognized multiple times a week.
Yeah.
I'll just be at a regular place and people will recognize me and speak. And, you know, in this profession, you learn, you know, one of the greatest advice I've ever gotten is be nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you got going on, no matter what you're doing, even if you're on a date, be nice to everybody.
Because if you're mean to
because
one person,
the
that,
one
yeah.
person you're yeah. mean to, or the one person you don't make time for, is the person that, man, I met Omar Kelly, and that guy was an absolute jerk.
Right.
That guy, he was such a, you know what. Yeah. And that one person is going to tell 5 people, and those 5 people are going to tell 5 more people, and those 5 people are going to tell 5 more people. And next thing you know, you got 500 people thinking that you're a douchebag.
I mean that always happens with pro athletes, right? Like there have been like some pro athletes that I have had like one kind of positive experience with, like the time that I met Dan Marino, it went fine. He was polite to me. This was when I was a kid.
Yes.
But then I always hear some stories about people saying, "Yeah, that Dan Marino, not a good guy.
Yeah,
didn't make time for me.
Yeah, exactly. And so I've always got to be nice. The worst thing that you could do with my son is if we're out and I'm out with him and you recognize me and you come up to speak.
Oh.
Okay. He will be bubbling the fact that you came up and spoke and recognized me.
Right.
But then making it worse is if you speak to him and you say, "Man, your dad's got to be, your dad's so cool."
Wow.
And he'll look at you or like, "I'm so glad to meet your dad." Like, and he'll look at you like, like he's just seen an alien. Like, you like the lamest person in the world, so that makes you the lamest person in the world.
Oh, man. That's
so you're just never cool to your kids. I you know, my dad wasn't cool to me until I became an adult.
Yeah, I think it's really like that. I'm not going to say that was necessarily the case for me, but I know that I feel like in a way, like I appreciate my parents a lot more now than I did when I was a kid.
I will tell you that my parenting advice to you will be what I took as a parent. It's a foreign universe, that there are foreign creatures. Their lives depend on you and your
which
performance,
is frightening to me.
Which is absolutely frightening. And my default is always going to be, what would my dad do?
Yep.
What did my dad do?
Yep.
How did my parents raise me? And, you know, I'm fortunate that I had a male in my home, and that is my dad and my original dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still married to my mom. You know, I fought for my marriage because I know my dad fought for his marriage, and it didn't work. And sometimes you got no one to tap out.
Right.
But you just do what your parents did, what your dad did as your default. It's like, you know, when a program goes into an error, there's always the default. It's going to go back to this. That has always been my default. Now, could I have done things better? Should I have done things better? Absolutely. Same thing with my dad. But you never stop trying. And my son went through a rough patch. I've never stopped trying. You know, divorce is hard on families, including the kids. As hard as it is for you, the person going through the divorce,
right,
in terms of me and my ex, it's also hard on him.
Yeah.
Because the world that he's known.
In certain ways, it's probably even harder for the kids.
Yeah. The world he's known has been disrupted.
Wow.
And, you know, you just got to keep trying, keep working, keep making the best of it. And, you know, one day it'll get easier. But I didn't take to the lessons that my father taught me or didn't value them until I had left the house.
Right.
And my hope is that he will as well, or became a parent. I didn't see all that my dad did. He was just annoying when I was a kid.
That's always how it is.
He was just annoying.
Because you don't know the why. You just know what they're doing to you, the discipline and the refusals.
Just,
you don't know why.
Just annoyed the crap out of me. And I look back at all of those things that he did that annoyed the crap out of me. And it's like, damn, he was a real good dad.
I'm
appreciative of that. So you just be annoying.
All right. I feel like that's advice that I can handle.
You just be annoying.
All right.
And do what you think that will, as they say for girls, I know you're having a boy,
mm-hmm,
but girls, keep her off the pole.
And by the way, for that, that's one of the reasons why I was so damn relieved when you see the little penis in that ultrasound.
Yeah,
you figure out, oh,
you're like,
sigh of relief.
I mean, there are male strippers now, but a guy, I think I'd be proud if my son became a male stripper. Should I not be?
I don't know.
Like, he'd obviously be in great shape. Like, you know,
big-headed parties,
jumping
well
endowed, like great dancer. I kind of be proud, like,
oh man,
you know, if you could support yourself doing that, gyrating for a woman, hey, props to you.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Joe. You're on QAM. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Omar?
Yes, sir.
Man, let me tell you something. I met you at a Heat game. I was with my son.
Was he nice to you, Joe?
No, you was not, man.
Oh, are you kidding me?
There's the one.
How was that not nice?
You really tried me. I'm like, Omar. You're like, it's not me. It's not me. I gotta go. I'm like,
no.
Wow.
That's not true.
Are you sure it was him?
It probably wasn't me.
I promise, bro. I put that on my son, bro.
Oh, man.
Dude,
I'm so shocked, man.
He swears on his son.
I'm telling you.
And you on the radio said you'd be nice to everybody.
I'm honestly telling you, this is hilarious because it's not me. Like, I'm used to being. How many years ago was this?
I was saying that. I'm like, yo, you a nice guy, and you like, I gotta go. You were sweating. It was Atlanta versus the Dolphins preseason game. It wasn't this.
Oh, you talking about a Dolphins game?
Wait, hold on. Omar, stop, stop backtracking, Omar. So Joe, let me get the story straight here just so I know what I'm dealing with, because I have to sit next to this guy for the next hour and a half. So you're saying that you recognized Omar Kelly and you—
At a Dolphins game?
But you approached him, and yet Omar Kelly claimed not to be Omar Kelly. So he used the old, that's not me.
I gotta go. And he was running, like leaving real fast.
Wow, Omar.
I put that on my son, Omar. I was always saying, when I see you again, I'm going to bring it up to you. And I heard you on the radio, and you talked about it. I'm like, wow.
I'll take what you said for face value. Wow. If I'm at a preseason, if I'm at a Dolphins game, I'm really working. But the other thing is, I get there 3 hours before the game gets there, so fans are rarely ever there. Now, if I was outside, you know, yes. No, there's one. I would never deny that something's
Joe,
at a Dolphins game.
Hold on, I'm talking to Joe here real quick. Joe, when you saw Omar, was this like outside the stadium? Where did this take place?
It was inside the stadium.
No.
It was like he was walking inside the stadium. He was going somewhere. I don't know if he was going upstairs. Like, he was somewhere in the stadium.
He was getting away from you is what he was doing.
There's nowhere at a Dolphins stadium, and this is how I know it wasn't me. There's nowhere at a Dolphin stadium that I really interact with fans outside of going inside the stadium. You've been there.
It probably wasn't looking like it.
Maybe so. I kept it
in my heart.
I'm mad that you kept it in your heart after the guy told you it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Like, dude, it wasn't me. One, there's no way that I can be at a Dolphin. I thought he was talking about a Heat game. Mm. There's no way I could be at a Dolphins game and people not recognize me and deny that it's me. Dolphins game. Like, clearly it's me. Like, I'm thinking he's like, oh, I saw you at a Heat game. Like, no.
Now I'm hearing that you saying it wasn't you. I give you a pass on that. When I see you again, I'll say this is the guy who called in the radio.
No, you know what, Joe? Don't even say that, because if you say that, he'll make sure he's nice to you. Joe, we're going to figure this out, the next time you see Omar, just don't reference this conversation. Just come up to him and see how he acts.
Test me out. Yeah. But it's— It's no way that it was me, because, one, we don't— outside of walking inside the building, there's no way for fans to see me. Because once I'm inside, like, I'm in the press box. There's no access to me. Like, no, unless I go out to do radio, and then the whole time I'm greeting people and taking pictures and then going right back into my secret tunnel.
Thanks, Joe. Let me let you run, man.
It's hard to deny it's me. I don't look like many human beings in the world. Now, there are some. The guy in Drake's video, he does look like me.
So maybe that was who this guy saw.
Like the homeless guy in Drake's video?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never seen
Have you seen Drake's video, God Plan?
I don't think I've ever seen a Drake music video, ever.
Wow.
Seriously.
Next commercial break, I'm going to show you the video, God's Plan. Because it made me cry.
Really?
And there's a guy in the video who I'm assuming might be homeless. He's just or crazy, and he's like a muscle bound dread guy who's missing some teeth. And
that looks like you?
It looks like me. And fans are going crazy on internet. Dude. They're like, congratulations on making Drake's video. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? And I got to admit, after I watched the video, I was like, yeah, that looks like me.
I got one more question about you being recognized. So this scenario, I'm sure it's happened with you, because it's even happened with me a couple times. And people they'll recognize me. Like if I'm paying at a restaurant, maybe they'll see the name on the credit card. They'll figure it out. But let's say like you get recognized at a restaurant. Does that make you feel more pressure to give a generous tip to the server?
It's funny that I'm going to answer this question this way.
Oh, I can't wait.
But I have to give a generous tip no matter what, because I'm a black man. And I have to counteract the stereotype
that
black people don't tip.
Oh, that's interesting.
So no matter what, even if I have bad service, you're at least getting 15%.
You know what is the greatest country in the world, Omar? I went over the summer. I took a trip to Japan. Really bucket list thing. You are not, culturally, you're not allowed to tip in Japan. Gratuity, it's an insult. They tell that to foreigners, that if you go to Japan, if you tip your server, it will insult them, because they don't want to feel like they need to work harder to get a tip, that they should always be 100% no matter everything they do. So if you tip in Japan, you're committing a cultural faux pas. You don't tip over there.
Okay. And I would feel
Japan.
Very uncomfortable there.
Well, listen, man, you would fit in with everybody else.
So you're saying a black man doesn't tip? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I think we need to hit a break here. Alex Dono and Omar Kelly with you here on WQAM.
Radio.com.
Yo, Omar showed me the music video for this song, God's Plan. And I gotta say, you really do look like that guy in the video. Or he looks like you. I don't know what the better way to say
he
it.
He is clearly a distant relative.
Seriously.
Yes. As I said on Twitter, when I acknowledged and admitted, yes, we look alike. He has my summer body. I have more teeth and my hair is a little bit better.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he needs a dental plan, clearly.
Well, maybe with the money that that Drake has donated, he can get that dental plan.
I hope Drake did give him, because he does a commentary beginning and the end of the video, which is, you know, and I hope he's got all his mental capacities there. I would actually love to find that individual if anybody knows him.
I would love
him.
To see a picture of you two together.
I would love to meet him. I'm sure we don't live too far from one another, because I live kind of close to, I'd live downtown, pretty much outskirts. You can call it Nemo. You call it whatever you want. I call it Little Haiti. I don't know. That's how I've known it my whole life. I'm part of the urbanization of Miami, the gentrification that's going on. but... Yeah, the video, to me, if you haven't seen God's Plan video, I recommend it. Not even if you like hip hop, but
you're right, because I had never seen it until the commercial break when you showed it to me, and you had said something in the last segment about how like it made you a little emotional. Like,
It made me cry.
And I couldn't
like
fathom
waterworks.
I couldn't fathom why a Drake music video could make someone cry, not having seen it.
And
watching
I
can understand.
Two other of my friends who also cried. Watching the video. And people, when I responded to people on Twitter, when I said on people, you really need to watch this, it made me cry. They were like, yeah, it made me tear up as well.
So basically, tell me if I'm assessing this correctly. So Drake had $1 million budget to shoot a music video. And instead of using all that money on like a Michael Bay type of production, he decided to shoot essentially a budget music video and then just give the money away as charity to people in South Florida and schools and different causes, which
yes.
I thought was very nice.
He gave some to University of Miami, donated some scholarships, gave some to Miami High, bought the Overtown Youth Center a van, gave some to families, did a a shopping spree for people in a local grocery store. It wasn't even Publix. Just the Miami community. Obviously, it cost them probably $200,000 to shoot that video, edit that video, production, travel, all that kind of stuff. But the rest of the money, I believe it was like $750,000, he just infused into the South Florida community, part of the video God's Plan. And it's watching, and you watch him do it in the video. And it's not like a gaudy video where all you see is cars and money. And, you know, it's like, you know, all these videos where people are just throwing around money. Well, Drake is giving the money to the community and you watch it. And it's amazing.
Any idea why, and I'm glad he did, but why he chose South Florida when he's from Toronto?
You know what? I often thought about that, and but he makes a lot of his music here in Miami. Yeah. Like people don't know, like half of the NFL and half of the music industry lives down here. Like I hear Nicki Minaj is down here making music,
and it's one of the reasons why it's like when people talk about, you know, such and such athlete, well, of course he would want to come play here to live in Miami. They already all live in Miami.
Yeah, I would estimate, and I have estimated throughout the years, 40% of the NFL lives down here.
Wow. And you're probably right in that.
I mean, the entire league lives down here. About 40%. You'll go to Davie and you'll be amazed. Players who've never even played for the Dolphins live there. In these communities that I've go into, like I remember, and not to mention Brandon Marshall again, but I will mention Brandon Marshall
again.
I mean, I have other friends who, like, you go to ask Channing Crowder the players that live in his community.
Oh my God!
And
yeah.
I'm sure there are 20 and 15 of them never played for the Dolphins. Huh. And it's the same thing with Brandon Marshall. It's the same thing with all the other athletes. You know, these communities, I go out on South Beach or in Wynwood, and I'll see five guys a night depending on what time of season it is. Like, you know, I've run into everybody. I've seen everybody out
not
here.
Not to name drop, but my parents used to live near Mark D'Onofrio.
Mark D'Onofrio,
the Hurricanes defensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
The guy that everybody hates.
Oh God, yeah. I've wiped him from my brain. I'm sure he's not working now, so he's home mowing his lawn.
He's working somewhere. Isn't he in Houston? I think he, not the Texans, the university. I think I want to say he was the defensive coordinator in Houston.
You know what? That was the horrible defensive coordinator the Hurricanes had during the Al Golden era.
Right.
I have purged that name from my brain. It was an era of an era.
It was an error, yeah.
It was an era of an error.
Yep.
And I have purged that whole era from my brain.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Daryl. You're on QAM. What's
another
up, Daryl?
Person who will tell me I was horrible to them when they met me.
Daryl, have you met Omar? Was he rude to you?
Listen, I got a friend. I have a friend that once told me, hey, I went to school with Omar Kelly. I think she said junior high school. I think it was Parkway Middle.
Lake Stevens. I went to Lake Stevens, but go ahead.
Lake Stevens, right. She was like, I went to junior high school with him. So me, I have a company football where we cover high school youth football. And once we got to cover the Dolphins preseason, so we got in, and we were in there, and it was a break, and I was next to Omar. So I was like, this is a good time like to say something to Omar. I mean, I hear him on the radio all the time. I was like, so Omar, boy, look, you're far away from Lake Stevens, huh? Man, he looked at me like I said something foreign, man, and walked off. And I never forgot that day, bro, because I was like, man, I thought he's from the hood. I'm from the hood. I thought we had something in common. And obviously, we did.
Man, this Omar, like, you've been called how out twice.
How I've lived my life has already been like a false impression of my world. Like, I'm thinking I'm like being nice to everybody. And listen, when he said he was in the press box, I instantly knew, yeah, I was mean to him. I was like, once you're in the press box, I'm like, yeah, I probably deemed it.
Let me just.
You focus. I mean, that's
yeah. I am so when I'm working, I am so in a zone that
he's
I just
on Instagram. Don't believe this guy. He's barely working.
No. If you get one more call like this, Omar, bro, it's over for you.
305-567-0560 or 954.
If Omar's big time, you call in. Yeah,
seriously.
I know you're accurate. I know your story's accurate.
So you withheld this one.
Like I said something foreign. I was like, maybe you got bullied in junior high school or something, man. I didn't know what was going on.
Did you get bullied in junior high, Omar? Is that true?
Not junior high. Kind of like high school, but not junior high. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was rough for me in ninth grade.
Huh.
I got robbed a couple times. Like,
oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was traumatic. But, yeah. Your story I will give some validity to, because if you're in the press box and you're a working media member, like, I look at it, I don't have to be nice to you.
No, I'm really nice to people in the press box. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm honestly in a zone when I'm working. I'm like, I'm locked in, and like,
he's got to send out those tweets.
Hey,
one more thing on Drake. Remember, I was asking about Drake. Remember a couple years ago, Luke called out a lot of those rappers that migrated to Miami and was like, you don't do nothing for our community. Like, you guys going to be here, do something for the community. And now Drake did something that nobody else has done. Like, I've never seen anybody in entertainment do what Drake did.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was. I mean, Luke has been working for this community for two decades. I remember when my daughter was cheerleading youth football.
I didn't even know you had a daughter.
Yeah, I have a stepdaughter.
I'll be completely honest here. I keep asking you about your son. I had no idea you
had a stepdaughter. Yeah. And
still counts.
I remember I was like, you know, you'd hear about Luke and these youth, the Optimus Leagues and Liberty City, you know, football team. And she was like nine, and she was cheering for whatever park she was cheering for their football team. And Luke was out there with the players for the Liberty City Optimus and coaching. And I was just like, whoa. And then I realized that wasn't just like a one-time thing. This has been his life.
Yeah.
And we're talking about two, three decades.
Wow.
He's been in this community helping young people like Devontae Parker. Now his players are in the NFL. So, you know, just think about that, how long he's been you know, making an impact in this community. So, yeah, Luca's consistently done that.
If you've ever been big times by Omar Kelly, 305-567-0560.
I do not take responsibility for the first caller. That was not me. The second caller, yeah, I probably big time.
I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. I do. At least you stood up to that second one.
Like, in the press box, I'm so, like, zoned in. Yeah. I probably didn't even hear what he said to me. Like, or maybe he said the wrong high school. I don't know.
See,
yeah, he said Scott Lake.
I'll tell you one that gets me. And so if anyone's ever had an experience with
he probably said, like, Scott Lake, and I'm from Lake Stevens. I was like, you insulted me, bro, thinking I'm from Scott Lake.
Let me ask you if this ever happens to you. You know, I'm a polite person. I'm unlike Omar. I'm polite to everybody that I meet. But sometimes it'll happen to me where, you know, like I'll meet somebody before a Canes game. I'll shake somebody's hand, and then they'll come up to me again like a month later at another
Canes
game.
Do you remember?
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I don't remember anybody. And it's not, like, I think it's a problem.
But they
that
expect
I have.
You to remember.
They do expect me to remember them. And I hope nobody takes it personally, but it happens to me like 10 times every hurricane season. We do the pre-games out front
of
the stadium.
Yeah, I saw you outside the Georgia Tech game.
But I will usually pretend that, of course, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but just to let you know, if I act like I remember you, and it's nothing personal because I don't remember, like, instructions that my wife gives me on things the day before, it's in one ear, out the other.
I will hang, and people know this about me now. Like, I will, if I'm going to a foreign city, like, I'll hang with people from that city. If you're a Dolphins fan, mm-hmm. like, they play this game on Twitter, "Where's Omar?" when I'm on the road.
Right.
And, you know, I'll go hang with you. If you want to take me somewhere to eat, I'll let you take me. Like, in anybody that's in my life, they always find it weird that I do this, like get in the cars with complete strangers. But the people on Twitter, I know you.
Right, it does feel
like,
that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, like, most of the time, if I respond to you all the time or I know your avatar, like, I view us as friends,
right.
Kind of. And I've had such great experiences, and I tell this story all the time, and I'm blessed and honored to tell this on Twitter. It was Indianapolis. And I know everybody by their avatar and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I won't say what his avatar is because I'll give him out. But he was a guy that I knew, and we'd had conversations all the time. He lived in Iowa, and he wanted to hang out. And we hung out in Indianapolis. And I'm saying we hung out for, like, the whole day. When I got in, we went to eat. After we went to eat, we went to drink some beers, watched some games. And, you know, the longer we got to talk and know, he confessed to me that, you know, I grew up in a community where there weren't any black people. And so you ultimately became what I viewed as my first black friend.
Oh, wow.
And that's important for me because I didn't know any black people. I didn't know what they were like. And based on what my father, who was a KKK member, had told me my entire life.
Wow.
It's like black people are disgusting and hideous and creatures who create the downfall of humanity. And just getting to know you through the commonality of you writing and reporting for my team and me initially needing your information and then getting to know you as a person through Twitter, that changed my entire perspective on black people. And then I began to challenge my father about his perspective of black people. And I realized that the world that he taught me was wrong.
Wow.
And, you know, and it impacted my whole view on the world. And I was just like, just sitting there, like, you're just like, whoa.
Just mind blown.
Mind blown. And this is in the era of time when I get called the N-word on Twitter, like, at least once a month.
Jeez.
And this is in the early infantile stages of Twitter. Twitter's evolved tremendously
sure.
now.
But it goes to show you the power of Twitter.
Absolutely.
That it can help change people. We got to hit a break, not to cut off a serious discussion, because I do want to revisit this. 9 o'clock hour of the Joe Rose Show coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.